Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sports Travel Podcast, where we interview leaders from throughout the sports event industry. This is Matt Traub, Managing Editor of Sports Travel, and our guest today is Scott DeRue, the Chief Executive Officer of the Ironman Group. But before we begin, first a word from our sponsor. This episode of the Sports Travel Podcast is being sponsored by Visit Phoenix. It's all fun and games in Phoenix, and the games are really, really big. So big that Greater Phoenix has been crowned as Championship Valley. From the NFL to the NCAA, mega sports events have become as iconic to Phoenix as the Sonoran Desert Swallows. And the same facilities and support services that make supersized events win big are available to competitions and events of all sizes and skill levels. Reimagine your next event in Greater Phoenix at visitphoenix.com/meetings. And now, on to the episode. Scott DeRue was named the new Chief Executive Officer of the Ironman Group in January, joining the organization from Equinox, where he served as president. Ironman's portfolio includes hundreds of events across more than 50 countries in triathlon, running, trail running, road cycling, mountain biking, and a suite of digital training platforms and programs for athletes. We discuss with Scott his motivation for taking the job at Ironman, his early work since being hired within the organization, assessing the business, thoughts on the mass participation industry, and Ironman's plans going forward. We hope you enjoy the conversation. Scott, welcome to the Sports Travel Podcast today.
Thanks, Matt. Really excited to be here.
You've been Ironman CEO for a few weeks now. What have your early assessments of the business been, having come in as the new Chief Executive Officer?
Well, it's a really exciting time for the company. And in the last few weeks, I've had the opportunity to travel the globe, all through North America, throughout Europe, through Asia, down to New Zealand for the Ironman and 70.3 events a couple weekends ago. One of the things that I've just been really impressed by is our team's commitment to our athlete, the athlete experience in our community. Just working tirelessly to always raise the bar on how we deliver these incredible experiences for our athletes. So that's been truly inspiring. The other thing that really stands out to me over the past few weeks is just getting an opportunity to engage with our community, our partners, and how passionate people are about what we're doing and the experiences we're bringing to our local communities around the world. And we couldn't do, as you know, we couldn't do what we do without our partners and our community support. And so it's just been a really inspiring few weeks.
What was your interest and motivation in taking the CEO job at Ironman?
Ironman represents the greatest expression of human achievement. And I've dedicated my career to creating life-changing experiences for people that help people discover their potential in life to better themselves, whether that's been through education, which for me was one of the most transformational experiences I ever had as a human, whether that's through health and fitness, and now through endurance sports. These are all experiences that can be life-changing for people. And for me, it's this really strong connection between purpose and passion that brings me to Ironman and our community.
You mentioned some of the early travel that you've already been doing, both nationally and around the world. What do you see as Ironman's future plans and its spot in the national sports landscape and the worldwide sports landscape?
You know, we're the world's largest organizer of mass participation sports. We have a deep commitment to growing and investing in the endurance sport community globally. And so as we look at where we invest, where we locate events, we pay a lot of attention to where our athletes want to be, where our athletes are. So where are they living? What are the travel preferences and needs and desires that they have? Where do they want to go, right? A lot of these are destination events for people. And so the global footprint that we have today, we only see that growing, but it's in service of our athletes and our community, right? Where do they want to be? Where are they inspired to challenge themselves to be their best and reach that potential And a big part of that is location and the destination. And so we're really excited about not only the portfolio of events and locations that we have today, but also where that can go in the future. And that's certainly a global story.
Obviously, whenever a new CEO or new leader takes over any company, one of the first things they do is assess the company, assess the business, and then see where you're able to make the biggest early impact. What have you seen in terms of what you can make an early stance on in terms of room for improvement within the Ironman organization?
We've got a great team and a great team with a lot of experience. And many of the investments we're making now, they're already in motion. You've heard me talk a lot about our deep and unwavering commitment to the athlete and the athlete experience. Some of the early investments that we've made as we look at the 2024 season around how we raise the bar and up-level that experience, all the way down to the swag that you get as a finisher, right? The t-shirts, the bags, like all of that makes up part of that experience. And people care deeply about that. And so we're making a considerable investments this year to up-level the athlete experience in every touch point. And we're starting to see the returns of that. And certainly as I come on board, that is a major focus area. The second thing that the team has done a great job of developing a vision for, we have work to do, is really around how we can activate our local communities, right? So Ironman, let's talk about triathlon, for example. Ironman comes into a community and everybody gets really excited and people travel in for the event. And so you've got all of that. How do we then bring the flavor, the uniqueness of the local community to life and put that on display so that people around the world get to appreciate what is so special and unique about that community? And I'll give you a very specific example. So 2 weekends ago, I was in New Zealand for the Ironman events down in Taupo. Every athlete in their welcome packet receives a personalized letter from a child in school there locally. So the schools have organized to write these personalized letters from the kids to all of the Ironman athletes coming from around the world into New Zealand. And it just brings to life how committed that community is to welcoming all of these athletes into their town. But for the athletes, how unique and special is that? The kids from the local schools are welcoming you and celebrating you and wishing you all the best as you go on what could be one of the hardest things you would do in life. And so how do we invest in and activate our local communities to create really unique experiences for our athletes is something that we're well on our way, but we've got a lot of work to do and really excited to both see that athlete experience and the community experience in 2024.
This edition of the Sports Travel Podcast is sponsored by Visit Phoenix. That roaring sound you hear so often in Greater Phoenix is all part of the Sonoran Desert Mystique. It's the thousands of fans cheering on the PGA Pros at the 16th hole of the Waste Management Open. It's the earth rumbling support for the NCAA's top basketball teams, or the crisp crack of the home run being launched during Cactus League spring training. Welcome to Championship Valley. Why are we at the top of our game when it comes to sports? The desert made us do it. Explore more at visitphoenix.com. You mentioned working with destinations and getting the local flair within each of your events. How do you really determine going forward in terms of evaluating where Ironman is located throughout the United States, throughout the world? Because there is obviously, I know you want to be able to try and continue the established markets that you have relationships with, but you also want to try and add some new markets as things go along. But you are also, it is Ironman. There's places where you have to have certain amount of just natural resources before you can say, hey, this is a place that we can go to.
Certainly for Ironman triathlon events, we do have to have water. We do have to have a swim course. We do have to have the ability to design a bike course. And we can get creative with those types of endeavors. And our teams are magical at doing just that. But it's really hard to create water, for example. And so that does create some constraints. But there are so many places in the world that can host a great triathlon event or a great trail running event, et cetera. Matt, it really starts with the athlete. Where does the athlete want to be? Where's the athlete inspired to want to race and to better themselves and to challenge themselves? We certainly have longstanding locations that we're deeply embedded with. You know, I mentioned Taupo earlier. It was the 40th anniversary 2 weekends ago of Ironman New Zealand, right? We've been in New Zealand with Ironman events for 40 years. Lake Placid this year is our 25th anniversary at Lake Placid. So we do have these events that are iconic in what they represent, not only to us, but to those local communities. At the same time, our athletes are inspired with newness and identifying and standing up new events in new destinations that give them a reason of, well, I've done Lake Placid, I've done New Zealand, I've done Arizona, but I've never been there. And that sounds really exciting. And so we are doing a lot of research constantly on where are the destinations that our athletes most want to be. And that's probably the number one criterion that we look at on where are we going to stand up new events, subject to the obvious constraints of we have to have some water and the ability to design a bike course and things of that sort.
I want to go back to the interview process. What made you want to interview for this job, or what made you interested when you saw the position being available as this may be something that I would want to be involved in?
Well, first, there's a passion that I just love endurance sports, right? So, you know, for the past couple of decades, I spent a lot of time, you know, climbing big mountains and running long distances, not a triathlete yet, but certainly on the horizon soon. But I love endurance sports. So there's a passion there. But I deeply believe in what the experiences that Ironman Group creates, whether that's trail running, whether that's, you know, triathlon, whether that's road running. I do believe in a really deep way the power of these experiences to be life-changing for people. And so for me, that purpose passion really came together initially to spark my interest in this opportunity. So that's number one. Two is I look at the macro trends in terms of the directionality of health, wellness, and fitness. I look at the directionality of the experiential notion of consumer businesses. I think we as consumers have realized that life is very much about experiences, much more so than things. And yeah, things matter and we buy them but experiences are special. They're unique, they're memorable, and they can truly be life-changing. And so if you believe in endurance sports and the power of endurance sports, you believe in the power of experiences and the consumer shift towards experiences, and you believe in the consumer trends around commitment to health, wellness, fitness, et cetera, I can't think of a company better positioned for the future than Ironman Group.
What do you think you bring to this job?
Well, you'll have to ask our teams and our community of athletes over time. So like that's something you'll have to ask, ask them. I bring a maniacal focus on the consumer, in this case, our athletes, and their experience. And certainly my time at Equinox right prior to the Ironman Group, you know, one of the things that makes that company very unique and very special is the deep commitment to, in that case, the member and their experience in the clubs. You know, I was in an educational setting for many years. A maniacal focus on the student experience is what defined that journey for me as a leader. The same is true here. A maniacal focus on our athletes, our community, and the experiences that we create. I truly believe that if we take care of our athletes, everything else takes care of itself. And so for me, I hope that that's what I bring.
You mentioned Equinox. You have an academic background in college and working with college students as well. What are some of the things that you've noticed so far early on that, hey, this reminds me of Equinox, or this reminds me of working in the college space? What are some of the things that translate your background before Ironman into this organization?
The passion and the engagement of the community. So the University of Michigan, where I spent many years, is the largest alumni network in the world. And they are deeply passionate about the University of Michigan. It's part of their identity. And so with that comes a lot of ideas, a lot of feedback, a lot of suggestions for what we should be doing. Equinox, same thing. Very passionate community. Those 107 fitness clubs around the world, those members believe at a really deep level that that's their club. They own it, right? And as leaders, we're just stewards of their club. So they come with a lot of ideas, a lot of suggestions, a lot of feedback for how to better their club. The same is true for Ironman Group and the experiences we create, again, across all of the different sports that we participate in. These are extraordinarily passionate and highly engaged communities. They care deeply about their experience. With that comes a lot of ideas, a lot of feedback. And we welcome that because that's how we learn. That's how we consistently evolve and get better. But the consistent theme across all of these is how deeply passionate and engaged the communities are. For me, that's a foundation to build on because I would much rather have a highly engaged, highly passionate community than one that's apathetic. And Ironman is one of the most engaged communities that I could aspire to. And that's been certainly the last few weeks been very telling and very apparent because of just how passionate the community is and how welcoming they have been to me on this journey so far.
What are your thoughts really on just the general mass participation event industry as it stands and what it can be or should be in the future, especially when whether it's Ironman or any mass participation running, biking, swimming event, sustainability and climate change are main topics just for the vitality of those outdoor events.
Certainly is. So I'm very optimistic about the future of participation sports. One, because of the consumer landscape, as we talked about earlier, you know, consumers really committing to creating experiences for themselves that can be life-changing. They're fun, they're joyous, they're challenging, all of the attributes that you would want in experience. So the consumer landscape with a commitment to health, commitment to fitness, and this desire for experiences, that makes me very optimistic about the participation sport industry, generally speaking. Matt, your point is an important one in that the landscape within which those participation sporting events are happening certainly is changing. And we see that with weather events, et cetera. I mean, just in Abu Dhabi this past week, we saw events be canceled. 10 years ago, would we have ever thought that an event in that location at that this time of year would be canceled for those reasons? Probably not. And that's something that we're all going to have to deal with and adapt to and make sure that we're putting on compelling events that are safe. And event organizers around the world are certainly going to have to pay attention to that. But it's not the first time we've dealt with those challenges. You know, we have to plan for weather events every year when we look at our portfolio. A certain percent of events on average are going to be impacted by weather. And that's, you know, that's no different today than it was yesterday.
One last one for you, Scott. You mentioned you're not a triathlete yet. Are you training? Are you currently in training? Is this job inspiring you to set a date for when you can be a participant instead of just sitting, you know, as the event organizer?
It is. I had the privilege of going to Vegas the other day, and I participated in a couple of our rock and roll marathon events, and then I flew straight to Asia and then to New Zealand for the Ironman event. And I got there, and I was so inspired in talking to the athletes down in New Zealand. You know, I'm not ready to do a 70.3 or a full distance triathlon. That would have been pretty foolish on my part right now. But I said to our team, hey, like we should, let's find some way to participate. So a few of us got together and did the relay. So we found somebody who was willing to swim and somebody who wanted to do the bike. We borrowed a bike, you know, got them set up. And then as a runner, I did the running portion of the 70.3. So I got a taste. Just a small taste. So then I immediately came back and went and got fitted for my bike. I've got a swim coach here in the Tampa St. Pete area that's worked with triathletes for 25 years, I'm going to meet this weekend, and he's going to begin the journey of helping me with my strokes. I'm really excited and looking forward to beginning the training journey and participating in an event, hopefully later this year.
We'll have to keep track of your progress, Scott. But thank you very much, and good luck with the training and with the new job at Ironman. And thank you for appearing on the Sports Travel Podcast with us today.
Matt, thank you so much. It's a privilege.
This has been another edition of the Sports Travel Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast on all your favorite platforms, including iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Past episodes are also available at sportstravelmagazine.com, which features breaking news and in-depth features on stories related to the sports event industry. Be sure to visit us daily at sportstravelmagazine.com, at Sports Travel on Twitter and Instagram, and at Sports Travel Magazine on Facebook and LinkedIn. Until then, this is Matt Trial for Sports Travel, and thanks for listening.